It'll be very interesting tomorrow in the stands at Auburn as well. Speaking of which,
Tony!
The best in the business is on the biggest college football station in the country. It's Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, presented by Cigna. Together all the way.
Tony Barnhart with us, as always, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Tony, you were in Auburn on Tuesday, and I think you're right when you say this one's going to be a good old-fashioned slobber knocker, to quote the great Jim Ross.
It is about the line of scrimmage. It's about Georgia's offensive line against Auburn's defensive line, which is the best in the country, and Georgia's defensive line and Georgia's defense against a team that has a freshman quarterback who sometimes plays like a freshman quarterback. The college football playoffs are still on the line for Georgia. Auburn can play spoiler by beating Georgia and beating Alabama on the 30th. There's a lot going on in this game.
And we talk about the fact that 2 years ago, Georgia went there and got embarrassed. Well, Auburn, when you look at Georgia's rushing numbers last year, they were embarrassed as well. So if you want to talk about revenge, that's got to be on their minds.
Well, and Georgia's won a couple in a row. And Auburn's not run the ball as well as they want to. They're going to keep trying to do it against Georgia. But this is the longest continuous rivalry in the Deep South. It is always a lot of tradition. It is absolutely my favorite game of all the games that I cover. And to have this much on the line, for Georgia to know that its national championship hopes of getting in the playoffs could end, they don't totally end, but they could. A big chunk of it ends on Saturday if they don't win.
Tony, the best part about this series, and you know, you said it, you've been at many of these games over the years, they always seem to have crazy finishes.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff happens. You know, the prayer of Jordan Hare back in 2013. I mean, Georgia wins in 1986, and they turn water cannons on the Georgia fans. Georgia and Auburn play in the first ever overtime game, and Georgia wins it in four overtimes under Jim Donnan. Something always interesting always happens in this game.
Hey, Tony, other than the Florida-Georgia and then the in-state with Georgia-Georgia Tech, do you think, and Kirby going there certainly, I guess, could play into this, how much do you think coaches want their players to know history 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, or are we out of that game now with 18- to 22-year-olds? It's not about then. It's all about now.
Yeah, I get the sense now that coaches don't really bother with it because this generation is not real big into history. They're into what's going to happen today and what's going to happen tomorrow. But I've known guys over the years who get into the history, and there's no game that has a greater, richer history than this one. And let's just put it this way, though. The people who are watching this game and the former players, they know what it's about, and it's a big deal to them.
I remember, 2002, when Pat Dye came out and said they're not man enough to beat Alabama, and then it was, okay, why did he say that?
In 2002, that was the big pass to, if I'm not mistaken, Michael Johnson. Was that the wide receiver for Georgia who caught that pass from David Green, a miracle throw? So that's another crazy finish.
Yeah, it was a crazy finish. That was Georgia trailed the whole game, and they called, I still remember the play, it's 70X takeoff from David Green to Michael Johnson to win it, and Munson went absolutely bonkers in the booth.
Tony, when I'm looking at the Auburn's defensive line, I see the start of the game is very, very different from the fourth quarter. Is depth going to be a problem, in your opinion, for the Auburn up front come Saturday afternoon?
It can be, but I will say this. Remember the Auburn-LSU game, all right? LSU went into that game with the express purpose of using Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the great running back, to wear the Auburn defense down. Auburn's defense was on the field for 88 plays, and they only gave up 23 points. So it could be a problem, but Auburn has shown an ability to sort of hang in there. And I don't expect both of these teams to get into the 20s. I think one will get into the 20s, and that will be the team that will win.
Tony, in the configuration of the building, I've been there a couple of times. Is there, people talk about the end zone, whether it's a student section, is there a end zone that's harder to actually punch it in that building?
I think over the years, the one with the student section is, the one as you're looking in the press box to the right. I always get north and south confused. I think scoring on that end has traditionally been a little bit tougher. But you know what? A lot of the big touchdowns, the prayer at Jordan-Hare was scored in that end zone. Of course, the kick six was in the other end zone against Alabama. But I think it's that end zone to the right. That seems to be a rowdy place.
Hey, Tony, before we let you go, we've talked about the many possibilities everybody has and will continue to because we don't know what's going to happen. But you think if Georgia has two losses but they still win the SEC, they could still get in.
They could still get in, but it would be a very big argument because if they have two losses, that means they've lost to Auburn, they've beaten Texas A&M, and then upset an undefeated LSU. Well, I think LSU still gets in at 12-1, but Georgia would be an 11-2 Southeastern Conference champion that has beaten Notre Dame, Florida, and LSU, and coming off of it. So is it possible? Yes. I think that's the nightmare scenario for the committee. They do not want to put a two-loss SEC team in this bracket. I can promise you they don't want to do it. But they may have to do it. But they're just hoping that Georgia takes care of business.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, an undefeated team from another conference not getting in and watching a two-loss team go in. That's when somebody's going to say, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Screw you,
somebody
people.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. They're going to go nuts if that happens. And it could happen. You know, there could be a 13-0 Minnesota or a 13-0 Baylor that doesn't get in. It's hard to believe that would actually happen. And it's also hard for me to believe that the committee would leave out an SEC champion.
So the other part about that, Tony, think about this. We keep talking about the eyeball test. And it's like in the old Olympics when they say throw out the high score, throw out the low. When we think about the eyeball test, we always try to think about a team at their best. Well, part of the eyeball test is think about them at their worst. Why did you lose a game that you shouldn't have lost? We really go to the victory a lot more than we go to the defeat.
No, that's absolutely true. And listen, what I tell people, and I've been asked this a lot, guys, is that there are certain criteria that each of the committee members use to evaluate teams. Eye test is one of them. Who have you played? Who have you beat? Did you win a conference championship? Did you have common opponents when you do? And but every person on that committee makes the personal decision on how much they weigh each of those factors. For some, the eye test is more important than the resume. For some, the resume is more important than the eye test. That's what makes this so intriguing. And who's going to get upset this weekend? Is it going to be Oklahoma? Is it going to be Minnesota? Minnesota's got to go to Iowa. Keep your eye on that.
As an underdog.
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I right? Yeah. Iowa's laying 3 points in that game.
Yeah, we know Ohio State's not going to be upset. That's a safe assumption.
They may score 100.
Oh, my goodness.
I think if they want to, they could.
Tony.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Tony.
They know they want to get back into that number one slot because the number one slot gets to play closest to home, and they want to play in Atlanta. LSU wants to play in Atlanta, too.
Tony, if Rutgers loses by
three. Poor Rutgers, Tony, saying they're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
If Rutgers loses by three touchdowns or less, they're going to tear their own goalpost down. And if they win the game, they're going to tear down goalposts at every high school field in the entire state.
No, the only question is, can they hold Ohio State under 100? That's all I'm
Tony.
It's a fair question.
Tony, I expect a little bit more journalistic integrity when it comes to throwing around numbers like that.
Man's just calling it like he sees it.
85.
Tony, good stuff. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
All right, guys. See you.
Tony Barnhart joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.